Well, I'm very grateful to Paul, our elder on duty this month, for leading the service. I'm afraid he's drawn the short straw. And last night in our Christmas Eve service, we considered the account in the Gospel of Matthew of the birth of Jesus Christ. This morning, I would like us very briefly to look at what Luke has to tell us, particularly the message that the angel had to the shepherds. In our reading, these very ordinary and quite rough and ready men were out in the fields looking after their sheep, and suddenly there is this intervention. That's what Christianity is, my friends. It's a divine intervention. God breaking in to our little world. And to start with, there was only one angel, Gabriel, and then a whole multitude of the heavenly hosts. Now we're only going to look at what Gabriel said to these very fearful shepherds. They were not the sort of men to be afraid. They were certainly not the sort of men to be taken in. And yet it is so obvious that God dealt with them. And if he can deal with people like that, then he can deal with us as well. The last thing I want us to have on our minds is this, that Christianity is only for the religious sort of person, the person who's too weak to accept reality. Oh no, these shepherds were not that sort of people, and I take it we are not either. So let us look at what Gabriel said to them. I want to concentrate on two words: glad tidings, good news. We started by singing this morning, "Yea, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning." This is what we're about today. It's good, glad, gospel, happy occasion. And all I want to do is ask and answer the question, why is Christmas a happy occasion? And I've just got a few points and then I'll have to finish. And the first reason why this is a happy morning is to you, a Saviour is born. A Saviour. What's a Saviour? A Saviour saves. And this is what Gabriel said to these men: behold, look, a Saviour has been provided. Now, when I was a boy living in North Wales, my parents took me and my sister to see Father Christmas in Conwy Castle. I don't know how Father Christmas managed to go all over the world, but he had time to visit Conwy. And it was night time. And Conwy Castle, the best castle in the country. And at night, the whole castle would be lighted up. All the spotlights was on Conwy Castle. And as a boy, I'd be looking out for Father Christmas appearing on the walls of Conwy Castle. I was looking for him. And so, my friends, this morning, all the spotlights is on one person, Jesus Christ, as Saviour. What a wonderful news that God came himself to save us, that God became a man, and that Christ was born in order to do one thing, to die on that cross for our sins. Now, with not much of a voice, all I can say about him saving us is this. What a Caribbean lady once said, whose English wasn't very good, but she looked to Christ and she understood how he saved. And this is what she said. He die, me no more die. That's how he's done it, by being our substitutes. We have failed to keep God's commandments. We've been enslaved by the power of sin. And thanks be to God, he hasn't given up on us. In love, he sent this Saviour, and he kept all the law on our behalf. And hanging on that cross, he paid the debts with his own precious blood. Now, I mentioned last night one of my favourite songs at Christmas is Mary's Boy Child. And there's a rendition of that which links at the end a Negro spiritual song to it. Oh, my Lord. I don't know if you know the words. Oh, my Lord, you sent your son to save us. Oh, my Lord, so that sin may not enslave us. What news? A saviour, a saviour. Then, second reason why it's happy this morning, why it's glad tidings. For unto you is born a saviour. Unto you, shepherds. What were these shepherds? They were not like the priests and the religious leaders. They were ordinary people. And actually, because of their work tending sheep, they were often ceremoniously unclean people in terms of the regulations of the Old Testament. And so God is saying that this Saviour hasn't been provided for the righteous and the good, but for you unclean sinners. And oh, my friends, my heart rejoices this morning that Jesus Christ came into the world not to call the righteous, but sinners like us to repentance. I was a student in London in Bible College there. In my second year, I was responsible for some reason for the overseas students. And I once, Christmas time, took them to Harrods. We didn't go to buy anything because we couldn't afford it. But we enjoyed going to the toy departments and spend all afternoon playing with the toys there. And, you know, I always felt going into Harrods, this is not for me. This is too high for me. And maybe somebody here this morning is thinking, Jesus Christ and this salvation he's provided, it's not for me. It's too above me. I'm just wretched. Failure. Oh, my friend, what the angel said to these shepherds, what I'm trying to say to us is he is for people like you and me. It isn't for those that are good enough that he came. Those that are well don't need a doctor. It is those who are sick, and we are such people. Oh, what glad tidings. Not only a saviour, but a saviour for people like us. And then thirdly, and to all peoples is born this saviour. You sometimes get the impression at Christmas that Christianity is bound by culture. That's because of our heritage here, which I'm most grateful for, that Christianity is somehow for the West. And that if you go to other countries, then their religion is Islam or Hinduism. But my friends, Christianity isn't just for particular culture. Even if you may think that this is a Christian country, that doesn't mean that Christianity is somehow only for us. It's for all the nations. And even though I was brought up to go to chapel, I wasn't born a Christian. Nobody is born a Christian. You have to be born a second time to become a Christian. Christ needs to be born in your hearts by the Spirit. And this is why it is such good news. It doesn't matter whether you're Iranian, whether you're Welsh, whether you're English, whether you're Japanese, whether you're German, whatever your culture, this Saviour is for you, to all the peoples. The God we worship is the God of all the world. And he didn't just look upon Israel. He didn't just look upon Wales. He, in mercy, has looked upon the whole earth and provided this Saviour. I find that amazing. That's to all the peoples. And as we are celebrating his birth here this morning, I want to tell you, there are brothers and sisters in Andhra Pradesh who are doing the same thing, and they are my family. There are brothers and sisters in Moldova who are doing the same thing. They'll probably spend all day in church, and they are my brethren. And before the sun sets in the west, there'll be brothers and sisters there doing exactly the same thing. Oh, if you become a Christian, you belong to a big family. And then the last reason, not only is it good news because he's a Saviour, not only is it good because it's for us sinners, not only is it good because it's for all the people, but it's one word, today. Today is born in the city of David a Saviour. Today. Don't you like that word? It's not tomorrow, but now is the day of salvation. We don't know if tomorrow may come. And this is what God is saying to us here on this Christmas morning. Today, if you hear my voice, turn to my Son. Today, today the gates is still open to go to heaven. Oh, one day we will all have to stand before God. Man is appointed once to die, and after that the judgment. But today there is still an opportunity to come as we are to Jesus Christ. You know, if you have a signpost, you don't have to have many words on the signpost to warn of danger. Or if you think of a signpost pointing the right way, all you need sometimes is one word. I don't have to speak for long in order to warn you about the danger of eternal judgment. I don't have to speak a long message in order to direct you to Christ. All you need to know is that this man, Jesus Christ, saves and receives sinners. One of my favourite ever sermons is one that Spurgeon, that 19th century preacher in London, spoke. And you know, it was only, well, it wasn't even 1 minute long. It was a few seconds. He was preaching one night in a very large building, and beforehand he wanted to test the acoustics. They didn't have microphone in those days. I don't know how he managed without losing his voice. And he was in the empty building, and all he said was the verse, "Behold, look, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." That's all he said. And do you know what? One person was saved during that rehearsal, because unbeknown to Spurgeon, there was a workman still in the building, and God used Spurgeon practicing one verse to touch a person's heart. And I don't know all of you here this morning. It is good to see friends and family at this time of year. But who knows whether God may use my poor croak and speak to you and cause Christ to be born in your heart. What a Christmas day that would be. Oh, come to Jesus. Accept this free gift of salvation. And we will then be able to join with these shepherds and go indeed, not to Bethlehem, but to Christ in heaven and say, we have heard the joyful sound that Jesus saves. Oh, may this be a blessed Christmas for every one of us, for his name's sake. Amen.